السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم صدق الله العظيم.
علماء کرام, most respected brothers, also sisters listening at the madrasa and our receivers, tonight I have decided to read this verse of the Quran Sharif and not go into any kind of tafsir. For tafsir you need a lot of time, and the shan and nuzul and many other things have to be discussed. But here are a few things which are relevant, and every ayat of the Quran Sharif is relevant for all times up till the day of Qiyamah. Even though it may have been revealed with regards to some specific incident that took place, but then the lessons that are in those ayat are for all people of all times till the day of Qiyamah, and especially for the believers. Even though those incidents may have been related to the Kuffar, the Mushriki, the Yahud, the Nasara, but there's a lesson in there. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He gives lessons in every ayat. That is the reason that the Quran Sharif is recited over and over in Salat, in Taraweeh Salat, and like that also the encouragement to read the Quran Sharif daily, to make it a daily practice. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, their language was Arabic, they understood Arabic. So when they recited the Quran Sharif, it had an impact, every verse had an impact on their lives. Their recitation also, it was from the depths of their hearts. So in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about those who turn away from their deen. As I said, I'm not going into tafsir, but some lessons that we take. That those people who turn away from their deen, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who believe. Now, although the Mufassirin have said this was to the people at that time who were believers, but as I said that it is for people of all times to take lessons. So, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who have believed. And it is said that the moment Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, every believer should straight away pay attention. That my beloved Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing us. He has got a message for me. Very kindly, very lovingly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing me. That you are my believer. You have believed in me. You have believed in me as your creator, as your sustainer, as your cherisher, as your nourisher. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who have believed. But then, man yartadda minkum an deenih. The person whosoever turns away from his deen. The deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whosoever from amongst you turns away from his deen. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that he will bring in place of that one person, whosoever turns away from his deen. I'm not giving you the exact translation or commentary. But even if one person has to turn away from his deen from amongst you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that He will bring in the place of that person one whole nation. One whole nation Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring. And what will be the sifat, what will be the quality, what will be the attribute, what will be that which will be conspicuous in the life of that whole nation? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. Allah ta'ala will love them and they will love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. First, Allah ta'ala will love them. The people that Allah ta'ala will bring, whom He will love. And they will love Him. A clear message in there that love comes first from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's side. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He loves the person, so then that person also, the love in his heart increases for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That person also gets connected more and more closely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. From this the mashayikh have deduced that many a times a person, he distances himself for no reason. He just suddenly has a kind of a bad opinion of someone who may be very pious, righteous, Allah-wala, muttaqi shaykh. But he distances himself due to some doubt that he has in his mind. And then he thinks that he is the one who has distanced himself. But in reality, it is that muhabbat which diminished in the heart of that kamil muttaqi Allah wala person, for whatever reason it may have been, that caused this person to distance himself. So it's a very fine line. We may not understand these things, but that's how it works. However, it has been stated that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love, we may say that how can we then get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to love us? We say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will love that person, that whole nation that Allah ta'ala will bring in place of that person, that who turns away from his deen. So Allah ta'ala will love. So now how can we get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to love? So that we have to look at the Quran Sharif. Tafsir of one ayat you will get in another ayat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told to announce that if you love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if that is your claim, that is your bold claim that you love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or you want to love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what must you do? Fattabi'uni. Then you make my ittiba. Mere naqsh qadam par chalo. That very famous couplet of Hazrat Maulana Aqim Mohd Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, in which he says, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے اللہ سے ملاتے ہے سنت کے راستے. So the person who will make ittiba of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so then he will automatically get the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So to get the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that same method has to be adopted, and that is make ittiba. Follow the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The only sunnats that we know may be two or three of eating, drinking, sleeping, that's all. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, of course there are certain things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did out of adat, that was his practice, but it is not something that every person is told to make ittiba of. There are certain practices of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he, out of his shan of taqwa, of qana'at, of zuhud, of tawakkul, he undertook those actions. But the ummah is not told that you must do exactly like that, because the ummah will not be able to do it. Many times I think I have explained this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived in a small room, 2x2 room. That if you have to stretch your hand this way, it touches the wall. If you have to stand up, it touches. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, I had to draw my leg, pull my feet, leg inwards. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to go for sajda in tahajjud. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, can we make ittiba of that? And Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the ummatidin sake, you must do also the same thing. That every Muslim, every follower, every believer, then he must live exactly like that. You know? For them, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even taught dua after wuzu. Allahumma ghfir li dhambi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and give me spaciousness in my home. Because the person is young, is single, he's got no family, he's got no children, he's not married, he hasn't got parents, he's got no visitors, so he can live in one room. But the person who is going to grow up, he's got mother, father. Then at the age of 10, the mother, father are told, now you must separate their rooms. Then the brothers and sisters, you'll have to separate their rooms, if it's possible. Or at least their beds. And like that, the person will get visitors. Then sometime in-laws are coming. Sometime outlaws are coming. Different kinds of people will be visiting him. So he will have to have some kind of room for them too. The English, they told us in-law, everything in-law, brother-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law. They only talk about the courts of law. In everything, they want to take you to the law. Shariat tells us that no, there must be ihsan. In Shariat, it doesn't say that everything you talk about law. There are many things that you don't go by the book. Exactly, that is the law. So I will only give her what is due to her according to law. I will treat them as they should be treated according to law. The Muslim says that I will go out of my way. I will treat them with ihsan, with kindness, generosity. My rights I won't demand, but I will fulfill the rights of my mother, of my father, of my in-laws, and I will go the extra mile. And I won't take them to the law for every little violation of my right. I will try and resolve the problem amicably. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching a dua, Allahumma ghfir li zambi, O Allah, forgive my sins. Now after wuzu, that's understandable that you ask Allah ta'ala forgiveness of sins. But then this spaciousness of home, that the person is saying, Ya Allah, give me a spacious home. He's not asking for lavishness. Or decoration beyond boundaries. Or extravagance. But spaciousness. That if he has visitors, he can accommodate them. His own family, the space. But now if he's got a spacious home, then definitely the cost of maintaining that home is going to be more too. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's duas. How far they reaching they were. Now the person, he has got a spacious home, so visitors will come also. They say, where should we put them up? They say, that person has got a spacious home. Invitation also, they'll say, spacious home. But more visitors, more cost. So he's saying, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي O Allah, give me barakat in my risk also. Plenty of barakat in my risk and sustenance, so that I do not have to extend my hand and beg of people. Sufficiency. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that was his way of life. Again, if you look at his clothing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't even have a spare set of clothing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's food, sometimes the stove didn't light for 2 months. If somebody presented some milk, he drank it. If somebody brought some bread or meat, he ate it. And he made shukr. If nothing came, then he had kept a fast. And not that he was poor. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, we can make these mountains of Uhud into gold for you. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I desire that I eat one day and I make shukr, and the other day I fast and make sabr. So that was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's way, what he chose for himself. Otherwise in Hajjatul Wida, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his own hands, he slaughtered 100 camels. 100 animals he slaughtered with his own hands. 63 he slaughtered with his own hands of the 100. 100 qurbani he made. Of that 63 he slaughtered with his own hands. Now can a poor person afford 100 animals? When we go there, we will have enough money for our radios, TVs, movies, and everything else. Gold and silver jewelry, and all the garments from there, and all the other items. When you come for that qurbani animal, then we'll say, what's the cheapest animal that we can buy and get over it? We try to look for the cheapest. because we said, well, we don't have any money left. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose this lifestyle for himself. But for the ummah, look at that, how much of flexibility. So Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we have to also understand what were his sunnats that we have to make ittiba of. Sometimes we fight with people when we don't know whether that sunnat is something over which we should be fighting. But if a person from his own side, of his own will, of his own desire, of his own muhabbat that he has for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if he has a certain hal and condition in which he lives like that, then we will say we appreciate that in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there have been many, many saintly people who lived like that. But they didn't impose that upon other people. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that was his hal, it was his condition, that he wore patched clothes and all the other details that go with it. But he didn't impose that everybody must wear like that. So we are discussing this ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala says that Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala will then bring in place of the person who turns away from his deen, one whole nation, and that nation, that people, that whole group, Allah Ta'ala will love them and they will love Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala. They will have great love for Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Giving us a very clear lesson that don't think that our distancing ourselves from deen or turning away from deen or accepting another faith and religion, then it is going to cause any kind of harm to Islam. Islam will not be affected. It will be the Muslims who will be affected, and especially that Muslim. And for some time or for a little while, it may appear outwardly that the Muslim Ummah is affected by that person turning away from his deen. But in reality, Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala will put Islam into the hearts of a whole nation, of a whole people. We can see that happening in the world today. And why I raised this, or brought this ayat, or why it came to mind, is that the zehni irtidad, as they call it, already mentally, there's a lot of irtidad, turning away from deen. We may not say it openly because of fear, of chastisement from the people in our families and in our society. But there are many, many statements that people are making which clearly indicate that there is no love for deen of Islam in the heart. A person, he says that, see, all these people who made salat 5 times a day, they all are rich. That you are asking for time to make your asar salat in this business. Asar time, now in winter time, it's 4 o'clock. So this person asked for time. He says, I want just 10 minutes to make my asar salat. And then again, of course, zohar salat is in lunch break. So the person is told that, as it is you are battling, I gave you a job, and now you are asking for extra time also. So all these people who made salat 5 times a day, they should have been rich by now. They should have been the employers. Here I'm employing you, I give you a job and you want salat time. So now this is zehni irtidad. That the person is already gone off track. That woman I told you, I think in some program, that she says the South African constitution gives women more rights than the Quran Sharif. This I heard with my own ears, so I'm not telling you fairy tales. I had to explain to her that what she said, what are the serious consequences of her statement. And what is it that South African government has really given? Go back in history and see when the women folk were trampled beneath the feet of the men. They were like doormats and they had absolutely no rights. When the Western world was still wondering whether they were human beings or animals, or they were insan or shaitan. Nobody had given them any rights. It was Islam that came and gave them rights. In inheritance, they had no rights. So to say the Quran does not give rights and the South African constitution gives more rights. Now, is this not irtidat, turning away? Then if another person says that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had known, if only he had known 1400 years ago, that in what kind of an environment we will be living, then he would have relaxed these laws. Certain laws which he mentioned, says Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have relaxed it, but because he didn't know that such time will come, so therefore he was very strict with those laws about control of gaze and about other matters, intermingling and many other things. So he says this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have relaxed all those laws. In other words, he would have also have given the green light for immorality. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So is this not irtidad? Is this not turning away? There are so many statements like this which are made. If I have to give you a list of what I heard with my own ears, we can carry on for 1 hour. And when the person makes that statement, it gives us a shock that where is this person's iman now gone? So on the one hand, this is happening, that people are turning away from the deen. They are moving further and further away. And on the other hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is bringing more and more people into Islam and into iman. Those who had been far away and they were opposition to Islam, Allah ta'ala created the conditions and circumstances that they accepted Islam. And many of them became better Muslims than we are. So Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِي فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُ وَيُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. They will have certain sifat, certain qualities, أَزِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They will be very humble, very polite, very soft. They will be lowly when it comes to the believers. أَزِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And when it comes to the kuffar, then they will be hard, they will be harsh. Now this does not mean that unnecessarily they are going to go around swearing the kuffar, criticizing them, mocking them, teasing them, ridiculing them, fighting with them. That is not what is meant. They will go out of their way to be kind, to be compassionate, to be caring, even though the person is a disbeliever. If the disbeliever too is sick, is weak, is in poverty, or a disaster has struck and he is suffering, that Muslim will go out of his way to even assist them. But he is not going to make them this bosom friend. And this is what is causing irtidad. This irtidad is coming because we have made them our bosom pals and bosom friends, intimate friends. The person will say, I rather have a disbeliever as my intimate friend than a believer. They say another statement, which is another dangerous statement. This again I have heard myself. Similarly, I have got one non-Muslim friend. And he is much, much better than having a Muslim friend. And we travel together and we do this together and we go out together. One is we just use the word friend in that context, that nodding acquaintance, or we are dealing with him as an associate. That is a different story. But when we begin to love his faith, his practices, his way of life, then that idea settles in our mind too. Or shaitan begins to whisper in our hearts too, that if you too had been a disbeliever like this person, then there would have been no chains at all. You would not have been restricted as Islam restricts you. See my way of life. I can drink, I can gamble, I can go to the rave club, I can go to the disco, cinema, theater. I can eat what I want. I can drink what I wish to. There's no restriction. Any woman I can take. There's no restriction. Because Jesus Christ died for everybody's sins. So there's going to be no questioning of anybody else then. So this is the condition. And that is why it is said that if a person makes ihtiram with his heart of a person who has got no iman in Islam, then there is danger that this person will die on kufr. If a person makes ihtiram and izzat, one is outward izzat. Welcome, welcome, you stand up, so take a seat, have some tea and all that is there. But one is ihtiram with the heart, that the person shows great love with his heart and respect. Just because that person did some good deed as a non-Muslim, as a disbeliever. So now this person is going out of his way. And he's got more love and respect for him than any Muslim. Any person who's a believer, then there is a danger that this person will die in kufr. These are times of fitnas, and we have to be alert and awake to these type of problems. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Azillatin ala al-mu'mineen, a'izzatin ala al-kafirin. But when it comes to jihad, then they will be strong, they will be firm. As Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, my Shaykh says, that like that you will say, Main haqeer hoon, faqeer hoon, naachiz hoon, khaak dar khaak hoon. See, you will say all those things out of humility. But when it is jihad, then at that time you're not going to say, bhai main haqeer hoon, faqeer hoon, tum jis tarah mujhe chahe maro, qatl karo, main sab tayyar hoon. Wahan se phir aadmi kahega ke main bhi hoon, kuch hoon. So the person there is not going to show his humility now in the jihad. So, aizzatin alal kafiri yujahiduna fi sabilillah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. You'll be striving in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This jihad fi sabilillah has got a very wide meaning. The person strives to in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the propagation of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in practicing upon the deen of Allah Ta'ala, in propagating the message of the Quran Sharif, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. The person strives in whichever way it is. Jihad of the pen, jihad of the sword, jihad of speech. Whatever way, but the person will be engaged in trying to propagate this message of deen. There will be a striving, there will be a struggle. So that will be one of the sifats. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. But in that, then after that, they are not going to fear the reproach of anyone who reproaches. That will happen when the person is going to practice, and that is what I am trying to explain. That this ayat may have been in a specific context, and there is tafsir, plenty of detail to it. But I am not discussing that. That what is the lesson for us? That there must be no fear of reproach. That if I am going to practice on my deen, if I am going to make amal on Sharia and the Quran and Sunnah, then what will people say? There will be criticism, there will be mockery, there will be ridicule. People will label me. They will give me all kinds of titles and names. So then it shows that this person hasn't reached that stage that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking of. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He is not from amongst those. Because the sifat of those whom Allah Ta'ala loves and they love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that they don't fear. I've explained many times that this does not mean that you take a brick and hit at somebody's head and say make amal. If you have to look at the occasion, you have to look at the person, you have to look at the time, whether it is right to say a certain thing or not. Sometimes you don't say anything, you just make dua because you don't know that person and it can create a big fitna. Sometimes just one match can light up a whole forest. So the person has to be careful also. But that does not mean that the person is so careful that he does not make any nasihat at all to anybody. Because all the time he's fearing that somebody will say something. Somebody saying something is not sufficient just to stop making nasihat. What we have to see is that who is that person that's going to say something. The person who is going to say something, if that person saying something is not going to create a big fitna, at the most is going to cause this person some hurt that he is not accepting my nasihat. So then it's necessary to make that nasihat if the person is doing wrong. But first we must be practical, then only we can invite the other person. If we are not practical, how can we invite the other person? But understand this usul, that where we say that if I'm going to say something, the person will feel bad. So now that is not sufficient. If it is going to create fitna, the person will then attack. And we do not have the strength to defend. So then at that time we will say that don't say it. That means in spite of our saying it with great hikmah, with diplomacy, with tact, with wisdom, still that person will then attack. And we don't have the strength to defend ourselves. And the courage to defend ourselves. So then at that time we will say, well, make dua and keep quiet. But if we are going to make nasihat to a brother, to a sister, to an aunt, to an uncle, to somebody in the family, and at the most they will criticize, since when you became a Maulana Sahab now? Just because you made Hajj and came now, you started making nasihat to everybody. Just because you went in the Jamaat one chilla, so you became a big buzrug now. Now those kind of statements, the person must not be concerned about. He must still make nasihat to his children, to his family, to his members of the society. He must pass on the message of deen, because if he is not going to make amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar, then the consequences are very serious. Then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come. And then even if the pious people are going to make dua, that azab will not go. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made that the condition. But if it is going to cause a fitna, then at that time, as I gave you one example, if I recall, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was traveling in a train and he saw a person with his pants below his ankle. Now he didn't know him, but he made him nasiha this. And he explained to him that in the hadith, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned people who have their pants below their ankles. So the person first asked, he said, where is it? Who said that? So he said, shariat, in shariat it is. He said, tumhari shariat ki aisi taisi, na'uzubillah. In other words, to hell with your shariat. That's what he said. So the Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, like fire went through my body. That what this person said. That up till now he was committing a sin. But with that statement of his, now he came out of the pale of Islam, he made kufr. So if we are truly of the opinion that our statement at such a time, or nasihat at such a time, at that particular occasion, will make that person blurt out some statement which will take him out of the pale of Islam, then at that time keep quiet, make dua for the person and look for a better occasion to speak to him. And then he said that in future I made up my mind that until I don't get to know the person. So the time that the person accepts nasihat is when you get to know him. And when you befriend him, or when you bring him closer, then the person will accept it. So you have to see the occasion. That is a different story. But it does not mean that the person just keeps quiet and keeps seeing everything happening in front of his eyes and he doesn't have the courage to say anything. Even to those who are junior, even to those who are his children, even to those people who are not going to create any big fitna. So, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They don't fear that. At the most, what will happen? At the most, they will blurt out a few words of condemnation, criticism. And most of the time, it is our nafs that is hurt. That is why we don't want to make the nasihat. Because our nafs gets hurt. That I made nasihat and the person criticized me. So now I'm not going to make nasihat anymore. So that is our nafs. If it had been for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he will say that I will try again. Or go make nasihat to someone else. But he's not going to stop making nasihat. Because he believes that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he underwent so much of torture and trials and tests. And what labels were given to him. That is why we say read history, so that we understand that if Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to go through such kind of trials, and he was called everything that you can think of. So if somebody just criticizes us in a few words, what does that matter? Take it in from one ear and out from the other. But still make dua for that person. Whatever it may be, make dua. Because never ever say that that person can never change. I always say that. Never ever say that that person can never change. We have seen such kind of people changing that it baffles our imagination. And those people who we thought will be now climbing higher and higher, some of them, the way they fell from the height that they had already reached, that they came crashing down and no respect was left. Somewhere along the line, pride became the means of the downfall. So we say that a person can change. When he will change or he will not change, we don't know. So we will keep trying, we will keep making dua. One person, he said that he was smoking. And every time that his friend said, don't smoke, it's bad, he never listened. But the friend too didn't stop, kept on telling him. And it was almost 103rd or 4th time that this person must have told him, he says. And suddenly that person said that, look, this person is telling me so many times, gone over 100 times now. So he's telling me for my benefit, let me give it up. So sometimes it requires so many times telling before the person gives a haram up. But you go on telling, but in a nice way, in a pleasant way, and don't embarrass the person in front of others. That is the thing that distances a person. A person wasn't coming to namaz. After some time, he started coming to namaz. And when you see him in the masjid, he said, where you got lost now? Now the person is... So now the person who was coming to will go away. Like one person saw one youngster who was in another line, but afterwards he came and joined this group. So when he saw him, he says, bird of a feather flock together. But I don't think you are the bird of the same feather. Where are you flocking with these people? Now that youngster was trying to come on line, now they tell him like that. So we must be careful. Don't embarrass the person in front of others. Sometimes the person hasn't got a beard. Now the person says, Molna, tell this person, he must start keeping your beard. Just like that. By that time, if we don't tell that person, they'll say, you see, he didn't make nasiha. I told him, must tell him, he didn't say. But he doesn't know that he's waiting for the right occasion. One young person used to come to the masjid here last year, and he used to come with his tight-fitting clothes and no hat. Now the people were getting excited. Mawlana, must tell that person, must wear hat and come. Must tell that person, must. I never said anything. I used to go and sit next to him. So all the time when he comes here, I used to go and sit down next to him. How are you, boy? Where you come from? What's your name? What you're doing? What you're studying? Like that. Without saying anything, within 2-3 days time, he had his topi on and his dressing also changed. So it's how you say it and with what heart you say it. If our desire is just to embarrass that person, then he's not going to accept it. But if our desire is he will make amal, then he will make, inshallah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, you don't fear that. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And this is the grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Gives to whom he pleases. And Allah ta'ala is all encompassing and he has the knowledge of all things. Meaning that we must not just depend on our effort. It is the grace of Allah ta'ala. It's the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must seek the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must make the effort. We must seek the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must not brag about our achievements. Whatever we possess, it is the fazal of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gave the himmat, he gave the courage, he gave the strength, and we make use of that and make some achievements in our life, so we must attribute it to Allah ta'ala. The kamal must be attributed to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not to ourselves. You can express happiness over an achievement, but the achievement is due to the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. There's no time to go into any discussion on that. But the gist of which is this. That the Sahaba-i Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in told, وَلَوْ لَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. Had it not been for the fazal of Allah ta'ala and His mercy, none of you could have made tazkiyah of your qulub and of your hearts. It is Allah ta'ala who makes the tazkiyah of whomsoever He desires. But because Allah ta'ala has given us a willpower, He has given us ability, He has given us faculties, He has given us strength, He has given us understanding. So therefore we are told that now we must make use of all these means and gifts of Allah ta'ala to do the right thing and restrain ourselves from that which is haram and wrong. Now, if the person doesn't do the right thing, then he is blameworthy because Allah Ta'ala gave him, because he doesn't know what Allah Ta'ala will. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't force anybody. Whenever Allah Ta'ala talks about, بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ also, وَخَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Now, it doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala just from day one puts a seal on their heart, so finish, that's the end of it. Now, no matter whatever happens, they are not going to accept Islam. It's because of their own actions and deeds and their own determination that they will continue in the path of kufr and rejection. Allah Ta'ala, knowing that, is informing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that these people, you carry on doing your work, that is, give them dawah towards deen, but I know that they are not going to accept. So we must not blame Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's another extreme some people go, that if Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives tawfiq and fazal and everything else, then why must I be blamed for what I do? So if that is the case, then don't even open the business from tomorrow. Because Allah Ta'ala is the Razzaq also. He is the provider of sustenance. So as from now on, we go home and relax. And tomorrow morning when they ask, why are you not going shop? They say, because Maulana said, Allah is Razzaq. So if food will come way home, why must I go and open shop? Will anybody do that tomorrow? So why do we say that when it comes to amal and actions? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us that kind of iman, that we don't fear laumata la'im. Allah Ta'ala must love us and we must love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We can see that the first ingredient there is love. Once you have love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then the person is not going to make such kind of statements which take the person to kufr and rejection. Love of Allah Ta'ala. If we don't have love, everything is difficult. Muhabbat is the thing that makes that engine move. In muhabbat, a person does things which he can't imagine he would have done otherwise. I will just conclude with one not related, but because we are discussing ni'mats of Allah, the fazal of Allah, that I had a call from my grandchildren down in Port Elizabeth, that the tallest man in the world and the shortest man, they were there in Port Elizabeth weekend. They were having some show there probably. So one is about 2.5 meters tall and the other one is just about a meter, I think, under the meter also. So they were there. So Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib is from Pakistan. He's coming here next week, Monday. So he was there too. And somehow, because those people are also from Pakistan, so he was also, they were also invited. They gave them an invitation and they came. So when they came, he said that the tall person, he couldn't enter the door. Even in the kumbi, they had to remove the two seats. Then he stretched his leg from here till there. In the aeroplane, they had to take out the seat. So they had to pay for the two seats. And then he couldn't climb. So they had to make arrangement for him down. Now that was the tallest person. And the smallest person, he just got in anyway. But look at the lesson we should take from this. So it was very amusing like that, because they themselves are using their own personalities for showpiece and making some money out of it, and they're going around the country. But look at the lesson we must take of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. I always say that we just don't appreciate the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. We didn't even think that correct height also, what a ni'mat it is. Did we ever think like that? That to be of average height, what a ni'mat it is. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala had to make us like that at the age of 30 or 40 or whatever it may be. Or such height. Look at the difficulty we would have experienced. So I told my grandchildren, I said, it's nothing to really laugh about. It's to take a lesson. Although, I mean, they themselves accept it if people laugh or they amuse themselves because they were going for show. But the fact is that the lesson we must take, that what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is. Now imagine if I was this size and sitting here and giving bayan to you. With my leg cannot touch the floor. What would have been your opinion? even though I was a great mufti and qari and allamatul dahr and muhaddis asr, but if somebody has to introduce me like that, and when I come and sit on the chair, I'm this size. Or so tall that my head touches the ceiling. Then, so Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat upon us are unlimited, unlimited. Increase the shukr, Ya Allah. I make shukr of yours upon all the ni'mats which I know, and also of the ni'mats which I don't know, which I have. We don't even realize that this was a ni'mat that we had until we saw those people. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Akramal Akrameen, Ya Ghiyasal Mustaghithin. Hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Oh my beloved Allah, my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Din raat hum gunahon ke andar mulawwas. My beloved Allah, in spite of all our sins, your ni'mats upon us are unlimited, my beloved. The ni'mat of sight, hearing, speech. The great ni'mat of Islam and Iman. Oh my beloved Allah, the unlimited number of ni'mats you are blessing us with. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. The sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Mere Allah, Mere Mawla, Ey Rabbe Kareem, hum bahut hi gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. Agar tune hamare gunahon ki wajah se nigahe rahmat pher li, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat and maghfirat because of our sins, my beloved Allah, which other door is there that we can tap? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Oh Allah, you are our sustainer, you are our nourisher, you are our creator, you are our sattar, oh you ghaffar zunub Allah. Mere pyare Allah, bless us all with good health, physical health and spiritual health. Jo bhi bimar hai, unko shifa ata farma. Ya Allah, so many are sick and ailing, so many have undergone operations, many have met up with accidents. Ya Allah, so many have been shot and injured. Oh my beloved Allah, don't test us. Ya Allah, we know that these injuries and pain and grief and suffering can be a means of elevation of status, the forgiveness of sins. But my beloved Allah, even without that you can forgive us. Ya Allah, hamare haal par raham farma. Hum bahut hi kamzor hai. Ya Allah, protect our iman, our Islam, our wealth, our families, our properties. Ya Allah, protect each and every ni'mat that you have blessed us with. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the tests and trials of the ummah of Rasul Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, assist and help the mujahideen of Islam. Oh my beloved Allah, we have to die one day. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication or any kind of haram action. Jab humare jaane ka waqt aaye to mere maula, mere rabbe kareem, mere pyare Allah, take us to Madina Tayyibah. روزہ اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا خیر خلق اللہ ہماری روح جمدی ہوئی تیرے پاس My beloved Allah, bless us with burial in Jannat al-Baqi. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. ہونے والے اجتماع کو قبول فرما, گشت تعلیم کو قبول فرما, تیرے راہ میں بھٹکنے والوں کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ, تیرے راہ کے اندر مجاہدہ کرنے والوں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ جتنے بھی دینی ادارے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما، مساجد مدارس خانقاہوں کو قبول فرما، یا اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے، عافیت دے، سلامتی دے، عزت والی زندگی دے، ذلت اور رسوائی سے حفاظت فرما، رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم والی لائف ہی میں دعاز فرس، یا اللہ bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us, bless the ummat with that goodness and from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have passed away, ya Allah bless them with jannatul firdaus, give sabr jameel and ajr azim to their kith and kin and family members, ya Allah inki qabron ko noor se bhar de, ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good desires, wishes, aspirations that are in the hearts of all those who have made some sacrifice and are present and are raising their hands before you. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes and good desires, inki nek muradon ko pura kar. Ya Allah, and you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the problems, the tests, the trials, the sicknesses, the weakness that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand this part of the night before you is suffering. Ya Allah, remove their suffering, their pain, their hardship, their difficulties. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله